basic instructions before leaving Earth. This is Bible Radio, the internet radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, St. Paul in Minnesota. And this is Sunday Morning Live. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a non-denominational church dedicated to the teaching and living out of God's Word. And now, Sunday Morning Live.
Morning, morning, morning. Morning. Hi, I am not Chick Chickellis. There you go. Isn't that what Jacob said on Thursday night? Yeah, there you go. All right. Hey, my name is Seth Wetter. I serve as the pastor of Calvary Chapel Fargo in Fargo, North Dakota. Don't you know? Oofta. Like to welcome you this morning to Calvary Chapel St. Paul. This is my church and my pastor's here. This is our sending church up to Fargo. So great to be back today. And just want to invite you today to open up your hearts to the work of God's Holy Spirit. Concerning that I would share with you today, we just have one seed of God's Word to sow in to our hearts today. So first service is not like second service. So some Sundays, maybe you were planning, I'm going to be in first service and I'm going to not be in second service since you are first service. And then I'm just going to encourage you, second one's different. So there's one seed of God's Word to accomplish in first service. And I'm seeking to save time we're actually going to go to Afterglow today. We are going to have Afterglow on Sunday morning as part of first service. And we're going to have Afterglow on Sunday morning as a part of second service. So pray with me. Heavenly Father, we ask for this word of the Holy Spirit concerning the word of God concerning who the Holy Spirit is. And I ask and pray now that your Spirit would teach us. I'm reminded, Lord, your Spirit is in us, with us, near. And we need you today. And we need you to bring forth only that which you can do concerning who you are to the believer, to the saints. I pray for the saints today. I pray for the saints of Calvary Chapel, St. Paul, concerning revival of you in their lives every day. And I ask today that you would fulfill for us that wonderful working of the Holy Spirit in our lives to fulfill what you desire to do. And I ask for that baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I ask, Lord, for the revival concerning the fruitfulness of what you desire this church to be for you. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So you can find your way in your Bibles to John chapter 14, verse 16. And you are going to need John chapter 14, verse 26. And John chapter 15, verse 26. In other words, find that part in the Bible that describes Jesus telling us all about the Holy Spirit on the last night that he was with his apostles. It's a great section of scripture as we undertake this. And what is the one seed that we need to sow today concerning living spirit filled? Okay, what we need today is the person of the Holy Spirit. I would encourage you as you would apply this, take it to heart, that one seed would be for you, that the Holy Spirit is not a power, right? He's a divine person. Many might think of the Holy Spirit in such a way. And today is about personally conveying to you this knowledge that the Holy Spirit is a person. Now, we think of this in an important way, and I would think of it like this. One who has knowledge, feelings or emotions, and will is a person. Okay? For example, electricity does not have feelings or emotion. Right? Electricity is powerful. Thinking upon this today, even in the Proverbs, an ox is powerful. If you have an ox, right, then you can do much work, and then you got to clean up after him, according to the proverb. But so much more that you would understand. We love equipment, machinery. We love electricity, all that it can do, but it is not personal. This personality is conveyed in knowledge, feeling, or emotion, and will. A physical body is not required of personality. And this is where many stumble. A physical body is not required for personality. So it's highly important today. And here's the highly important part. From the standpoint of worship, if the Holy Spirit is a force that emanates forth from God, you better not therefore then worship a force. But from the standpoint of worship, the Holy Spirit is God and is to be worshiped and loved and adored as the Father and the Son. From the practical standpoint, okay? So you have from the standpoint of worship, and now you have a practical standpoint concerning the Holy Spirit as a person. That we decide whether the Holy Spirit is merely a mysterious and wonderful power for us to use in our weakness and ignorance that we may get a hold of, or that the Holy Spirit is a real person, infinitely holy, infinitely wise, infinitely mighty, infinitely tender, who is to get a hold of us to use. That's the practical standpoint. I know why many, again, especially in our camp within Calvary Chapel, have grown tired and weary, like a well-worn path concerning the baptism with the Holy Spirit, because from a practical standpoint, the Christian lives don't seem to change much one way or the other concerning the baptism with the Holy Spirit, because it's presented, I get more power when I get the baptism with the Holy Spirit. So from this practical standpoint, we have to win one thing today in our hearts, and that it is the Holy Spirit is divine, and the Holy Spirit, a divine person who has will concerning our lives. And then it's highly important from the standpoint of experience, because I think experiences get published now in all kinds of platforms. Again, you might be able to find the experiences that many will record their videos and post them social media and describe their experiences of the Holy Spirit. But listen to this. It's very important that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's as real as Jesus Christ. See, the Holy Spirit is as real as the Son of God who came to the earth. And John records in his letter, we handled the Son of God. We touched him. We ate with him. And in much the same way, it's important for us today, from a standpoint of experience, that the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, becomes very real for you, that you would know he is near you, with you, ever present. Okay? Loving friend, mighty helper, dwelling within, always by my side to undertake for me in every emergency of life. Now, when you consider, as Jesus introduces the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, and he introduces him, he says, and I will pray the Father and give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Now, that pray in John 14 is the same word for ask. And I will ask my Father. This is not, you know, intercession. This is not any of the five words in Greek that come into like some elaborate prayer or anything. It's this straightforward. Jesus says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. Now, hear these words today. Another helper, allos parakletos. Okay? The word for another there is allos. Now, there's other words in the scripture that come into the same English word, another. For example, okay, you would say that chick is a Calvary Chapel pastor, and you would say, I am another Calvary Chapel pastor, okay? That's allos, okay? Now, if you would then therefore understand there's another Greek word that describes another, but it's different. For example, if you would say that chick is the only Calvary Chapel pastor that is a chick, and then if my wife stood up and said today, I am another Calvary Chapel pastor, I am also a chick, you would say that's not right, right? That's a heteros, all right, chick seeking to be a pastor. Now, when we apply this and understand, thanks, honey, right? We're going out to eat after this, right? So when you take this to heart today, allos parakletos. Now, everything that Jesus is to the disciples is everything that the Holy Spirit is to the disciples when Jesus goes to heaven. And this becomes today for us an important understanding concerning this another helper, Parakletos, the one, as such, he communicates joy to the saints. And again, verse references, we're not going there, but you can write these down and go do your study concerning the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who communicates joy to the saints. Romans 14, 17, Galatians 5, 22, 1 Thessalonians 1, 6. Now, when Jesus was here on the earth with his disciples, it is described that he was full of joy. And I want to remind you that your life, when you are revived unto the understanding, receiving the person of the Holy Spirit, is the one in your life who communicates joy to you. As such, the Holy Spirit, this Parakletos, he edifies the church, Acts 9:31. The Holy Spirit edifies the church. A beautiful working of God's Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit shows up and you're edified. That's why I love the gifts of prophecy concerning those believers who have received those gifts. Then they're sent to edify the other believers with the gifts of prophecy that they have received, and it's the Holy Spirit who then edifies the church. As such, the Parakletos, he, the Holy Spirit, comforter, helper, he testifies of Christ, John 15, 26. I'm going to be there shortly. As such, he, the Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter, he imparts hope, Romans 15, 13, and Galatians 5, 5. I prayed with a brother yesterday, Saturday morning prayer. Again, before I left Fargo, last thing I did was pray with my brothers that I pray with on Saturday morning, and one of the brothers starts to describe that he's lost hope. Turns out he hasn't lost hope, but through prayer and then gifts of prophecy, it was the Holy Spirit who imparted the reminder of the hope as well as imparted the hope to the believer. You may think you've lost hope, but if you sit alone with God's Holy Spirit, he will once again remind you and impart the hope. Romans 15, 13 is a great verse. I'm just saying, if today you're hopeless in your thoughts, it's just not true. The Holy Spirit, as such, he imparts the love of God. This is an important one today. Romans 5, 3 through 5, the Holy Spirit, as the Parakletos, the comforter, the helper, imparts the love of God. So you don't have to be the source and supply of God's love. It is God's Holy Spirit that imparts that to you. He teaches the saints, John 14, 26. We're going to be there next. He dwells with and in his saints. That's the very next verse of what we're looking at. He abides forever with the saints, same verse, and is known by the saints. We are in the right section to study the person of the Holy Spirit concerning what he does for the believer. Now, John 14, 26 says, the helper of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. I love this about Jesus. Not only did he say, another just like me, allos parakletos, he says he's going to come in my name. Everything that Jesus did, revealing the Father, the Holy Spirit will come in the name of Jesus, and in his name, he will be with you, dwelling in you. He will be doing two key things, right? The Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things. When Jesus is here on the earth, he says, you have no need that any man should teach you. He says, for one is the teacher, and that's the Messiah. Christ is the teacher. So Messiah goes back to heaven after the resurrection from the dead, and he ascends into heaven, and then he sends the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name will teach all the things that Jesus gives him to teach. Now, I learned this from my pastor. This is from Pastor Chick. And this takes me all the way back when I first met him and just listening to him start, you know, teaching the Bible, but interacting with him. He says, every time you open your Bible, when you're alone with God and you're reading the Bible, he says, do this. He says, pray to God the Holy Spirit that he would teach you the scriptures, that he would teach you all things. And then a second thing that the Holy Spirit does, the person of the Holy Spirit, he brings to remembrance the things that Jesus has said to you. Now, I love reading the words in red. And I have a marker now in my Bible. It took me a while. I'm a slow learner. The last 3 years, I now have I now have a marker in my Bible in the Gospels all the time. It's just a marker that moves from Matthew to John. When I finish John, it goes back to Matthew. I'm seeking regularly to always have the words of read in my life. And as I apply that, the remembrance. Again, you might think, where did that come from? Why did I remember that? Well, Jesus said to me, and what Jesus said to me, now it's with me, and it's the Holy Spirit that is the person of the Holy Spirit that is bringing that to remembrance. Now, getting on to the next verse, again, just very straightforward today. We have one seed to be sown into our hearts to receive the person of the Holy Spirit. This helper, the Holy Spirit, John 14, 26, and now you're on to John 15, 26. This is great. You hear it today? John 14, 16, John 14, 26, John 15, 26. This isn't complicated, right? This is great. And again, and I started putting these verses together, and I want to share it with you today. When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Allos Parakletos. Okay? Just like Jesus. The person of the Holy Spirit, even though you cannot see him, is as ever-present as Jesus was with his disciples when he walked the earth. And it's a great understanding when Jesus, he reveals it, it's good that I go away, because if I don't go away, then the Holy Spirit won't come. And reason it through with me. If Jesus stayed on the earth, he would still only be in one place at one time with however many people he could be with at that time. However, when he, the Holy Spirit, again, when he comes, the helper comes, Parakletos, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Now, this is a wonderful working concerning the Holy Spirit. First and foremost, the Holy Spirit is holy, as in contrast to the unclean spirits that Jesus would cast out of people. Come out of him, you unclean spirit. And that's what Jesus would do. But think in the opposite now. What Jesus is saying now, again, house empty, swept clean, what should you be taking from that? I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And get this, the Holy Spirit can fill all of the believers in Christ Jesus in all of the world at the same time. Now, this is dynamic concerning the helper, the Spirit of truth. How do you know something is true concerning belief in Jesus Christ? This is the testimony of Jesus. He's the Son of God. The testimony of Jesus concerning the death and resurrection, concerning his birth, born supernaturally, miraculously. Right? You start to consider how much I need the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, that you, well, we need it now because lies are probably more prevalent in a perception that it might be somewhat true, and that's the culture. Now, as you do now internet searches, when I did internet searches, starting on the internet back in 1991, yes, there was an internet then. I remember before that. Again, there's always this thing, where did this come from? Is it true? So likewise today, I just want you to say that. If the Holy Spirit's not a person, he's not going to be interested in always being true. Electricity does not care who touches that voltage, does not care or discern whether that person, you know, should get shocked or not. Okay? So likewise, the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth and will bear witness to you that Jesus is true. And when you do these things that are of him, and when you're talking to another, that he is true. Now, we have one more verse to accomplish before we go to Afterglow. And this might be the important one today. Because we talk about the person of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit being God, divinely intimate, tender, divinely holy, intimate, again, as Jesus, intimate with the Father. The Holy Spirit is as intimate with the Father and the Son, and he's as intimate with you. Now, if you would ponder this thought together with me, meditate upon this thought concerning Romans 15:30 today. I believe this is the heart of what we are to open up in and to put the seed of God's word concerning the person of the Holy Spirit and to place it in our heart today and then have it grow and bear fruit. I'm seeking an increase of 100-fold concerning the love of God from each and every one of our lives. That the love that God put into us would therefore then reach to an increase of 100-fold. Who here, like the Grinch, could have his heart grow 3 times bigger that day? Honestly, we all, I think, inherently know that we could love 100 people. Maybe not communicate intimately with them at the same time. But the thought here in Romans 15:30 is, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul is pleading on the basis of risen, resurrected, glorified Son of God in heaven at the right hand of the Father, interceding as high priest for all the saints. Okay? And he understands and therefore communicates as he begs the brethren, he says, it is the Holy Spirit that is on the earth, in the believers. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the love of the Holy Spirit. And he says that you would strive together with me in prayers, and strive together with me in prayers to God for me. Now you can side note here, Romans 8:26, it's the Holy Spirit who prays in you according to the will of God. And here comes now this wonderful thought. And I would think of it like this. Many of us are exhorted and encouraged to, in our prayer closet, get alone with our Father and pray and meditate upon the thought that God loves me, that God is loving to all of his children. And we might even take that time in our prayer closet to think of the Father's love that sent his Son to the cross, that the Father loved the world to send his only Son to bring salvation and life. And we might even ponder in that thought concerning the love of the Son who came to the earth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Well, the love of the Son, again, Jesus' love to be the sacrifice for sin. Jesus' love to lay down his life, to come. See, Jesus emptying himself from heaven to become a man means he took on a form. He took on form of humanity, and that's irreversible. He entered into his creation, and we ponder the cost of the love from the Father's standpoint. We ponder the love from Jesus' standpoint that he would offer his body a sacrifice for sin, a sweet-smelling aroma to God. Ephesians 5:1 says that is Jesus' love. Now, what I bring to us now is this place we really need to come to, is that when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit into the world, the Holy Spirit, in the same love of God, pursued you, convinced you that your life was a ruin without God, convinced you that sin would destroy you and wreck you forever, and that there is a loving God who sent forth his Son to die on the cross, and then he resurrected and went to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit into the world that through this gospel, the love of God would reach you in a remote place from where it actually happened in Jerusalem, that you could hear this same gospel in Cottonwood, Minnesota in 1987 at a concert brought on by the Continental Singers, that I would have the love of the Holy Spirit pursue me, that when the gospel of Christ Jesus was preached, my hand went up and said, I am a sinner in need of being saved. And I received the love of the Holy Spirit that day. Okay, as he is the one on earth who communicated to me the love of the Father and the love of the Son. And as I ponder this thought for us today, again, I want to stir you up on a couple things. How often do we kneel and say to the Holy Spirit, "Oh, thou eternal and infinite Spirit of God, I thank thee for thy great love that led thee to come into this world of sin and darkness, to seek me out, to follow me patiently until you did bring me to see my utter ruin and need for a Savior, and to reveal to me my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Savior whom I need." It's the Holy Spirit who's involved in all these things. Now, with this encouragement for you today, again, this wonderful, infinitely tender love of the Holy Spirit, I could lay it out this way. If it wasn't for God's love, God the Father's love to send His Son, I would be in hell today. If it wasn't for the love of the Son who came to die on the cross, to be the sacrifice for sin, to give His life, if it wasn't for the love of the Son, I would be in hell today. But it's equally true. Because I was not there to witness the death and resurrection. Jesus went to heaven 40 days after He resurrected from the dead. I equally owe the Holy Spirit, who in His divine love brought Jesus to me and me to Jesus, that I could equally say, if it was not for the love of the Holy Spirit, I would be in hell today. I'm not saying that we would be there today. I'm saying we would be without God, without hope in the world. It is the love of the Father. It is the love of the Son. And it's the love of the Holy Spirit. So as we take out and apply an application this week, okay, I want you to read chapters 1 and chapter 7 of the Person and Work of the Holy Spirit by R.A. Torrey. Okay. And this you can find, if you like to read digitally, you can find this free as a PDF on the internet with an easy search. Or you can find it as an EPUB, and then that can go into your reader, your digital reader. Chapter 1 focuses on the person of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 7 focuses on the beginning of the work of the Holy Spirit. Second service today is the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, as you apply that, chapters 1 and chapter 7, your home fellowship leaders are going to be praying for this, working with this, doing this, that you would have the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you look closely at the application, it's read, receive, revive. Okay. Read, receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a wonderful thing that I would now encourage you. If you have not received that baptism with the Holy Spirit, today during Afterglow, see to it that you come forward and through the laying on of hands and by prayer, just like the book of Acts, you can receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit today. Also, in the book of Acts, it describes that those that were filled with the Holy Spirit, so they have the initial baptism, they were refilled with the Holy Spirit. So there is also an experience. Again, now think about this, what I'm saying today. There is an experience with the Holy Spirit called a baptism. John, the baptizer, said Jesus is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Guess what? It's still Jesus baptizing with the Holy Spirit today. Okay? That hasn't changed. So Jesus in heaven sends the Holy Spirit, and through the laying on of hands, the Holy Spirit fills a believer. We're talking about living Spirit-filled today. We're talking about reviving the love and worship of the Holy Spirit, that you this week would be revived unto your personal loving relationship with the Father, your personal loving relationship with the Son, and your personal loving relationship with the Holy Spirit. I want you to know Him very well. And if I could describe it in this way of us now going to worship the Lord, sing, and then wait upon Him, and if you need to be in receiving again of the filling of the Holy Spirit, also, He has gifts that he has given and gifts that are to be shared today. We need the Holy Spirit. And if I could say it in this way, in the love of the Holy Spirit, I've come to know, just as the disciples came to know that Jesus could call them friends. And again, this is reverent, and all the bit of reverence that I can offer up to you, that the Holy Spirit is my friend. He's ever with me. When I am in trouble, I call out, and he's with me. Now, this is not, calling the Holy Spirit your friend is not to be an irreverent thought, but it's to be in the fear of God that he really is the one who brings Jesus to me. He really is the one who teaches me. He really is the one in me that is doing all these things. And it's he that now gives gifts to the church severally as he will. And all you have to do is go back to Thursday night's Bible study concerning the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you'll find out exactly how those gifts work. So as I impart that to you, we're going to go into Africa. You can go to the next slide for me. Okay. This is a great little booklet to pick up. Henry Gainey wrote, this is part of the Calvary Basics series, and they are no longer being published, haven't for years. If you have them, don't ever give them away. Okay? Keep them in your library and then give them as an inheritance to your children if the Lord tarries, and pass these on. But you can now find this digitally online, and you can read online. So or you can go to the old bookstores and seek these things out. But this is what we're going to do today. And so you've actually been in Afterglow since I started. Is I brought a simple teaching today concerning the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit wanted to bring to us today. And then we're going to come and we're going to worship God. And again, as we're worshiping, in light of this teaching today, if you receive the person of the Holy Spirit, again, is God, and he is to be loved and adored and worshiped, that's how we're going to enter into Afterglow today. We're going to love and adore and worship the Holy Spirit, and as we wait upon him, as the Holy Spirit prompts you, you may come up, even as we're worshiping, and you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you need that filling of the Holy Spirit again. You can come up, we'll lay hands on and pray. And again, I'll start and do that. And then if you today, as we're waiting upon the Lord and giving him our worship, if you receive a gift of prophecy, okay, I'm going to give room for you to share that with the saints today. If you have received a gift of healing, okay, or you're in need of a gift of healing, again, that's our faith today. Maybe you have gifts of faith to share. So I'll start by sharing my gift of faith today. My gift of faith is in practice right now, that I believed God wanted me to come down and do two different Sunday services and to bring musicians along so we can go into Afterglow. So first service and second service being different. And I've been praying four specific things for 4 weeks. And it was all to prepare the hearts of those that would be here today to have their hearts, again, made ready, cultivated. So the things you've been experiencing in your life the last 4 weeks are answered prayer. And by faith, I know those that are coming today that you are to be ready to receive these two seeds of God's word. And so I was with many of you last week at the men's conference, as we were together in that. And then I was with many of you the weeks before in Israel as God was preparing these things. And I'm operating in the gift of faith today that you are prepared to receive the word concerning the Holy Spirit and that he is going to bring forth an increase of 100-fold. Now, don't think in that thought that you're going to see 100 people in church next week because of that. It might be that the 100... That this seed that receives in you, that might be your lifetime, or that might be think about it. There are those who have already gone out, and that increase could be in other places. But it could also be that God begins this work with you and you're revived, and you're going to come back for second service, or you're going to go online and listen to second service concerning a reviving of the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, this one's important to me. I was told, again, church in Fargo is right by the mosque in Fargo. We're within 100 yards of the front door of one of the mosques. And we have been praying intently for a gift of miracles, right? A gift of faith, that God wants us to go in that front door and tell them all about the Son of God. I was told recently that I needed to get a team of apologists to go over there and argue with them. I'm just letting you know, the work of the Holy Spirit. I could have a team of apologists to go in there and argue and do nothing. But if the Holy Spirit opens the door by invite and with testimony of the Son of God, I know that that work of the Holy Spirit, which really needs to happen, and that's second service. So I invite the musicians to come back up and let's pray. And I'm going to pray for all of you. Okay. Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus and we come to give the Holy Spirit our love and our affection, adoration, and worship, for you are God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the person. You have knowledge, you have emotion, you have will, you are God. And we gather in the name of Jesus to worship you. We worship you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.